definitely Wacker Drive. If my estimations are correct, we should be very close.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
WGN 9:13 in the morning. Good morning. It's John Williams. Steve Cochran's back tomorrow. I'll go back to my normal slot 1 to 3 tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll actually be on the stream at WGNradio.com because of White Sox baseball. Speaking of which, Secretary of State, hello, Jesse. Welcome to the show. Jesse White is here.
Glad to be on board, John.
We were just talking off the air about your illustrious baseball career, too.
I had the great pleasure of playing baseball at Waller High School, which is now Lincoln Park, and then I went on to Alabama State College in Montgomery, Alabama, where I played baseball and basketball. Dr. King was my minister when I was there. Former Mayor Eugene Sawyer and I lived in the same dormitory. And, of course, Rosa Parks refused to move to the back of the bus. So at church, Dr. King said that he had been asked to lead the effort to desegregate the Montgomery transit system, and I've agreed to do so. And I'm going to use the nonviolent means approach. So if you get struck on one cheek, you turn so you get struck on the other cheek. I'm a student of Gandhi, and Gandhi taught me this. And so I'm passing it on to you. After every basketball game, I was the captain of the team. Dr. King used to give me $20. That was legal then. It's not legal now. And so
point.
I reminded him that I was from Chicago and that we don't operate like that. He said, just follow the script. You do those things and more, we will become successful. As it turned out, I had a wonderful relationship with Dr. King and former Mayor Eugene Sawyer, and I lived in the same dormitory, and there were about 60 in the dormitory, but only three of us could vote.
Only three of you could vote?
Because of the segregated society that they had in Montgomery, Alabama.
What did you have to do to be able to vote?
Well, you had to. If you lived in the South, you could not vote, but if you lived in the North, you could.
Right, so you said three because you were from Chicago?
I was from Chicago. There were three of us in the dormitory, and the three of us were from the northern states.
I mean, I guess that shouldn't be a revelation to anybody. We all ought to know that part of our history, but that is amazing, isn't it? Did you all think this is unfair or this is wrong, or did you just think that's the way it is?
It was a violation of all laws of human decency, and we just... at that time, and was hoping for the best. And as it turned out, through the efforts of Dr. King and others, they desegregated the Montgomery transit system. And then, of course, we no longer have to deal with the segregated society of the South.
You are in the studio today to talk about Real ID, about Scott's Law, about a couple of things like that. Let's get rolling on that too, shall we?
Well, let's start with the organ tissue donor program. I run the largest Secretary of State office in the United States. Corporate filing securities, keeping the seal, court of claims, license plate stickers, state IDs, the list goes on. And the organ donor program comes under my jurisdiction. Here in Illinois, we have 6.7 million people who signed up to become part of the organ tissue donor program. There are 5,000 people on the waiting list as we speak. And each year, about 300 people die because the organs have not arrived in a timely manner. We ask that when you're alive and well, give blood. When you're no longer here, give organs. And when you've done those two things, you've made a positive impact on society, considering the fact that one person can provide life or improve the quality of life for 25 individuals.
How do you become an organ donor?
When you come to the Secretary of State's office seeking the various services, we'll ask you, would you like to become a part of the organ tissue donor program? If you say yes, we will put you into our database. So when that moment arrives, there will be smooth transition.
It's not signing the back of your driver's license anymore?
No, but we found out that we used to do that.
Yeah.
But we found out that 20% of the people who would sign up on the back of the driver's license, they needed consent from their next of kin. And because of the stress of the moment or the thought of losing their loved one, 20% of those organs were not harvested. So now when you say you want to
become a part,
that's
not the time to decide. When you're in the moment of, oh, do you, you know, you need to have it decided when you're not in a
and you need to have talked about it with
position.
Your family, right?
That's right. But then the point, bottom line is this. We found that even though talking with your family members, 20% of those organs were not harvested.
So that's
now
amazing.
We've gone to what is called first-person consent. If you say you want to become a part of the organ tissue donor program, we will honor your wish.
Okay, now I'm trying to remember because I got my driver's license. I moved from Minnesota back to Illinois a couple of years ago. I got my driver's license maybe renewed about a year ago. I presume I was asked that question and responded online or at the Secretary of State's office when I got my DL. That I mean, does it indicate on my driver's license?
Yes, if
whether
you see
or not?
If you look and you see the state of Illinois, and inside that's the diagram of the state, it'll say donate. if you don't have that.
I have, right. So next to my little picture on the right, there's a state of Illinois icon. And then in white letters, it says donor. So I said yes.
Yes.
What percentage of people say yes? What percent say no?
I don't know what the percentage is, but I know for a fact that eventually we will lead the nation, because right now we've gone into another order of business where we ask 16 and 17-year-olds when they get a driver's license and state ID, would they like to become a part of the organ tissue donor program? 6,700 of those individuals, 67,000, I'm sorry, have signed to become a part of the organ tissue donor program.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a new PSA coming out that it features a young girl who is a beneficiary of owner organ donation, right?
Sophia Sanchez. She was at Children's Hospital, Lurie Hospital.
Yeah.
And her greatest ambition was to see Drake.
We all saw that. It was viral. She was that adorable girl, you know, and then
And so we had a press conference over there last weekend. As it turned out, we talked about her participation in this wonderful program. She needed a heart. She got a second chance at life. And we feel great about the fact that this wonderful young lady received the gift of life.
That's always a sort of a, it's tragic and it's also hopeful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That little girl got a heart because somebody else, something happened, and now there's a donor available. I just can't imagine why anybody wouldn't, maybe this is naive of me, why they wouldn't say yes to being a donor.
There are a number of myths that are out there. Someone will say, well, while I'm on life support, the doctor's not going to put forth a genuine effort to save me.
Oh.
Or they may say, because of religious reasons, I choose not to participate.
Okay.
Or they'll say, I may not look good, am I going away? The rich man is going to get his before I get mine. Mm-hmm. And so those are some of the myths that are out there that will keep an individual from signing up to become a part of this program.
Yeah. Okay, so today, I mean, if I have a driver's license and that's not on there, but I do want to become a donor, I guess I can sign up to be a donor?
Yes, you can go to 1-800-210-2106, 1-800-210-2106, or you can come to one of my 130 facilities and indicate you'd like to become a part of the organ and tissue donor program.
Let's talk a little bit about Scott's Law. What's that?
Well, Scott was a fireman, and he was providing some service to a person who was disabled on the side of the road and was struck and killed by a driver. And so we initiated what is called Scott's Law, which means that if you see someone like a police officer or an emergency vehicle providing some service to someone, you are required to move over to the center lane or to the far left lane, so you will be out of harm's way.
It's funny, though, you said something key there. If you see it, I think the problem is we have a lot of distracted drivers that aren't seeing it because they're texting or doing something else in the vehicle that's preventing them from even seeing that something like that is happening.
Do you see people pulling over, though, or moving, or slowing down or moving into the left lane when they see a squad car pulled over on the right?
I have seen that.
I see it both ways, though, too. I also see people that don't do that. I got a text from somebody last week when this came up. Mary Wisniewski had an article about this in the Chicago Tribune. And somebody texted me and said, I had no idea. I think as a common courtesy, you would just find yourself naturally doing that.
I mean, even if I see somebody changing their tire, I scoot over because we're going fast and there's wind.
There's not much margin of error.
But why do I want to get close?
But the point is now, right, Jesse, it's the law. You have to do that.
It is the law, and we just hope that the people who drive on our roads will adhere to it.
And if you can't move over in the left lane, say it's a three-lane road or two-lane road, if you can't get over to the left, then you have to slow down. You're not going to stop, but you have to slow down. Do one or the other or both.
Yes. Yeah. You know, we have those impaired drivers. We have the distracted drivers. And we just have individuals who just want to get from point A to point B no matter what. We ask them to please respond to the red lights. The people out there who are providing those wonderful services to us want to live a long and a productive life. We want that to occur. We also want you to get to where you want to be or where you need to be. So please, slow down and respect the lights.
What's the number? 15? 15 state troopers have been struck. Just, you know, rendering service.
And there was a drought of it, or what you say, before these 15 were struck, there was a period of time where that wasn't happening very frequently, and then all of a sudden
we had two in one weekend.
Yeah, so I think also I blame vehicles for our cars can now do so much. You know, Steve Cochran's car vibrates if he goes over the right lane, you know,
that.
The right butt cheek and the left butt cheek vibrates and things like that, so you're kind of you have to do less, you know, even though you really aren't supposed to be doing less. And so you really, even if your vehicle is a smart vehicle and you can do all these things, you should be cognizant of what you're doing. You're in a giant car moving quickly. And if there's a human on the side of the road.
Oh, we get lazy, right?
Yeah.
Because the car tells you when to turn, what mm-hmm. to do, you can be talking
everywhere.
On the phone.
Right.
So it's, you're right. Sometimes you forget, oh, yeah, I'm the person in charge of this thing here.
Right.
Well, one of the biggest culprits that we have out there, and that is people want to text while driving. As of July 1, if you get caught texting or becoming a distracted driver, you will get a ticket. That's a moving violation. If you get 3 moving violations within the 12-month period of time, you will lose your license. I take over 750,000 driver's licenses a year.
And it's
so
funny,
remember, he
yeah.
who give it can't take it away.
the texting, because yeah. I don't actually answer people, but I have read a message, and that's still texting. Reading
yeah.
the messages
I
is
know,
still the same.
I know. But you know what? I think they just, I don't know if this is a good idea or a bad idea. Since you can hands-free talk on the phone legally mm-hmm. in Chicago or anywhere in Illinois, right? Should they enable you to voice to text while you're driving? That is, ding, incoming text from Mary. And then the voice reads your text to me. And then I can say, text Mary back. And we could do that while we're driving.
So yeah. But you can keep your eyes on the road. That's the more important thing. But when you're texting, 9 times out of 10, your eyes are off the road.
Yeah. Well, I'm not even, to be honest with you, I don't know how you guys feel about this. I'm not even, to me, if you hold your phone up to your face, you know, you're illegally using your cell phone while you're driving. Mm-hmm. To me, that's not very much different than using hands-free. Hands-free is legal because we say, well, now you're not looking down at your phone. But I think your brain is distracted.
Right.
Your mind is somewhere
Especially
else.
Especially if you're having an intense conversation, something serious.
Have you,
looked
in your rearview mirror and seen somebody carrying on a very animated conversation?
But if you have people in the car with you, it could be the same thing.
Sure.
What
right.
do you mean? Oh, yeah, you're yelling
yeah,
at somebody.
I mean, you
in the
could
car.
Have an intense conversation with someone sitting next to you.
I know, but I just think when your brain literally, like, if you were in Evanston at a game or before a game and you and I were talking, mm-hmm. I think my brain kind of travels to Evanston and it's not on the road where I am right now. Really, I think it's not, I think that's different than a person sitting next to you in the car. You know what I mean? Maybe you don't agree with me.
I agree.
But I think if somebody's sitting next to you and you're having an animated conversation, maybe you're looking at them a little bit, that's one thing. But if that person is on the phone, I think your brain isn't in the here, it's in the over there. It's Dave's fault.
What they should really do is stay off the phone and listen to WGN.
Oh, here's another thing you should do, Jesse. Thanks for asking. So we think that you should be able to get as many pictures taken as you wanted on your driver's license before. The process is going to be very protracted now. People will be there for hours. But how many people are satisfied with the picture on their driver's license?
There are a few people out there who would like to have the picture taken again.
But that's not an option, is it?
Not an option, no.
Will you do that? Will you change that so that can be an option?
We have a different system right now. We take the picture, and that picture is then sent to Springfield.
Oh, that's right. We don't get it right away, do we?
We send it down there.
Yeah.
We will take the picture, and then it will generate a license, and then within a 7 to 15-day period of time, the license will be sent to you. But now what has happened is that there's individuals who sometimes will forget to put their apartment number or their zip code, and so they have to
change it out then.
They have to contact us so we can try to find out where the license is and get it to them.
Yeah, by the way, I had a situation like that where I was a safe driver and I was able to renew online. Nothing changed with my address. And I'm still waiting a couple months later now for my driver's license to arrive. I'm guessing it's not going to come, right?
Before I leave here today, I'd like to have that information.
Okay. Oh, you know somebody. By the way, talk to me about Real ID, too. I'm seeing commercials for that. What's the difference between a driver's license and a Real ID?
A Real ID will allow you to fly domestically, get on an airplane. If you have a regular driver's license, then normally you could not. But right now, you can, up until October 1, 2020, use your driver's license, whether you have the star on it or not, to fly domestically. But after that, then you have to have a star on your driver's license, which would mean that you have brought in your Social Security card, your birth certificate, and 2 pieces of mail, such as your
utility bill, something like that.
Your telephone bill, your gas bill, light bill, or something.
Yeah. So then I'll get a star on my driver's license, which I don't have now, which Bob has over here. So Bob is able to then go to the airport and use that like a passport domestically. Yeah.
So you use a license with the star on it or your passport to allow you to fly domestically.
And we have
after,
over a year.
After October 1.
Yeah. Yeah. But if I don't have that now, or if, will I have to get that done? Will everybody have to have a related?
You can fly with it now.
Yeah.
But when we reach October 1, 2020, then that's not a valid document.
So if you don't want to fly, a regular driver's license will be suffice after 2020 if you're not interested in flying.
Yeah, okay. Right. Or if you have a passport, but you would be able to use your passport after 2020.
You'll always be able to use a passport.
But it'd be nice to combine them. But if I don't need to renew my driver's license by 2020, then what happens?
No, just keep it, and you will not have to come to the Secretary of State's office.
But you'll have to have your passport then if you want to fly domestically. Okay. Mr. Secretary, thank you for coming in.
Hey, glad to be on board.
Yeah. Anything else you'd like to share with us here? I mean, I know you've got nothing but stories. I just don't have any time.
Well, I have a strange kind of a background. I spent 16 years as a lawmaker, 6 as a Cook County Recorder of Deeds, 20 years as your Secretary of State, 8 years professional baseball and the Cub organization, 10 years in the military, 2 jumping out of perfect good airplanes.
Yeah.
33 years as a teacher, and 59 years as coach and founder of the Jesse White Tumbling Team, but yet I'm not 150 years old.
I saw the tumblers at a game this year, and they're still doing great, so congratulations on that as well.
We're trying to save our youth and put them in the posture by which they can help run this great country of ours.
They put on a great show, sir. It's 9:29. Jesse White, thanks for coming in.